to fly, bro. What am I in life for?
Yeah, give it up for the choir.
Special number. Oh, bro. Has anybody ever been blessed by a special number? Have you, like, has your life turned around?
Because
every time, be blessed as you listen. But I've been blessed.
I don't know if my life has changed, but you definitely feel emotion.
Yeah.
I know you feel emotion. Sometimes you might feel some emotion.
Yeah.
Depending on who is leading,
and how good the choir is.
Yeah.
And how good the choir is.
Yeah.
And so bad as well.
Yeah, that changes it.
Sometimes they will now go and undertake a song, they have no capacity.
They have no business to be.
That's my problem. Years ago, this must have been like about a decade ago, when they did. It must have been 10 years ago when they did There's Power in the Name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. My church, you know, decided.
Oh,
so like, this was new.
That's a calm song. Though.
No, this was new though. You see now it's like easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then that was new.
Sure.
There is power.
Sure.
It's not power. It's power. Oh boy. Well, those new songs always murdered it. Bro. Always murdered it, bro.
One time they tried to do a Kira Shared song.
Oh no, not indescribable. Not indescribable.
No. This is
You are. God.
Oh
God.
Bro,
it seems like you have experience.
The problem we did it as well. Our own version.
No, but you see, the problem with that song is I struggled to play it.
Yeah. So.
And I was the musician in church that was experienced outside of the church. Choir?
Bro.
Stop messing.
Or they will now say, oh, there's this Marvin Sapp song. Marvin Sapp, why?
And my problem is how they practice the songs. Do you know what I mean? They listen.
What's practice to them? Like,
bro, they. Joe's mad, actually. Being in the church I'm in now, and obviously being in the church growing up, the way we practice is very, very different. Obviously, we have to come to this to the practice like knowing the song.
Already knowing.
Do you know what I mean?
Scoring now you mean, right?
Yeah, now. Yeah. We have to, you know there's rarely any arrangements where you have to know all those type of things there.
That's kind of...
My church... Don't say it online. Don't say it online. They want you to. They want
you.
You know the church.
I know.
But back in the days, bro, we were listening to, you know, whatever
you put
it is.
You put the phone to the microphone. You put the phone to the mic.
Do you hear what I did? This is a power.
Vienna box.
So you lot were in choir. So I'm probably the odd one out here, right?
Oh, you were not in the choir.
No, I was in the choir.
Could you play anything?
I didn't play an instrument.
What was your drum?
Cameraman.
Technical department.
Yes, I wouldn't know. Technical, man.
You know what? The technical department is always just made up of. Do you know how to move it up and down?
Main up of. Of Christianity in
African
church.
Yeah, bro.
Because you always had this one guy.
Yeah.
This one uncle that just refused to change.
Yeah.
Just completely refused to change.
Yeah.
So you can't hear it. It's fine, I can hear it. But everybody else can't.
Just tap the mic. One, two.
But in their defense, like, they can't, like, listen to everybody, because if, like, everybody can't hear themselves at some point.
Yeah, so, but that, I guess.
It's not the technical
department's team. It's not a problem. It's not they don't have a clue what they're doing either.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It depends.
I think if the sound system is sick and all these type of things, there is a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. And if people know what they're doing, you know what I mean. These guys, all they know how to do is dab knob, put it up. Can you hear
volume? Decrease the volume.
No, that's all they do is
that's
volume.
All they do.
You know, increase.
Okay, it's too loud. Bring it down.
Just bring it down.
Like, ask them to do many other things.
Ask them
to do
reverb. They'll shake.
Is that like the echo thing?
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were technical. Oh, you're just camera.
Camera. That's my own forte.
So you guys are doing live stream before. Have you been doing camera long time ago, or is it just like recent thing?
No, I've been doing camera like before COVID. Yeah, long before COVID.
So were you guys live streaming?
Yeah, we were live streaming on YouTube. Yeah, before that.
Do you know what I always realized? Yeah, those churches that have no business recording, but they're recording. What's the reason?
No, it's what ICC. When you see big churches do it, you just let's copy the model.
Just broadcasting like, trash.
Let's copy the model.
You're not watching it back.
Just copy the model, like, bro. That's all I do.
Yeah, like, you're not watching it back. No improvements. Just everything. Put the camera on. What for?
Yeah,
they just won't. Every church has probably that one. 1 terabyte hard drive in the technical department that's just full.
That's just full.
It's interesting. You know, Mike Todd, Transformation Church. He said, when he just became the church pastor, he used the church budget to get cameras. Like I think it's about 45,000.
Yeah, I heard that.
Use a mad budget to get cameras, but like, I think here's my thought on it. Like, okay, let me rewind. I was in a church recently where the church, like, as in, things are decent. I've been in the church before. Came back recently. And Broski, I don't know why this guy's laughing, but I came back recently.
I'll tell you.
As a bear mind, okay, when I left the church, when I wasn't, oh boy.
Ah.
Oh boy, Steve-O, you know, oh boy. Sha. But last time I was in the church, the choir had no parts. Like, I said, literally, it's all
like
melody.
That. Mm. Like that, yeah.
We see that.
And not even good melody. Just
just strong, just straight on EA and all these, right? Mm-hmm. So that was them. The camera was whack. All these stuff, like, wasn't great quality. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, I've come back maybe a little while later, and they've improved everything. Like, camera's good. I'm hearing three parts. I'm hearing soprano. I'm even hearing alto and tenor. Mm. Ah, I said, okay. Mm. Yeah. There's this. Okay, a lot of stuff massively improved. And then I heard, cool, we're going to spend about 30 bags getting a LED screen. I'm thinking.
You were doing the right thing. And now you just.
No, ask them the desk they have. it's not even digital. It's still analog.
Yeah, still analog desk.
Behringer.
But Midas. I don't even know what it's one of those, bro. It's one of those where you're still doing.
Doesn't move on the tools,
bro. So I don't get they only spend 30 bags, 30K.
On an LED screen.
So you know LED walls.
Yeah.
Those like American churches.
Yeah.
And here's what I was trying to go get at. It's like, I think sometimes churches, and not only churches that are in this category, but we look at sort of America or Nigeria when they have massive productions and like what they have behind them, a screen.
Yeah,
it's nice. Get a screen. So they have so many things. They had so many levels before they got to that screen.
Probably the last.
The screen was
it's always the last thing because you get your lights, you get your good PA system proper, and then you can say okay, and then you not get everyone on in ears first, and then it's like okay, let's get in.
And you also might have some people in the church as well,
yeah.
It'd always be good to have a congregation.
It's 30 bags in this group is 5 members. It's wild.
That's actually crazy.
It's wild.
I just think some people jump before they can even run. Like, just like, hey, let's see how a better sound system will work. Like, let's see how get the guys into in-ears, and let's see how a carpet will work. You know. Let's see how, if we can get a lighting system, all these type of things there that can gradually improve the production of the place. Then we can say 30 bags makes sense. And then nobody's looking at you like, because I think that 30 bags, I think that LED screen stands out now. It's like, it's just like this random thing, like in a space that doesn't meet up everywhere else. It's just this random thing that's just like, boom, come in.
Yo.
Just try and go around. There's chairs in that room. You can bring it out. Yeah, but yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that I find. Yeah,
if my dad tells me we're getting an LED screen, I'm like, why? Why?
And most times they can't justify it.
Yeah.
It's just
because I like it.
Yeah,
it's nice. Let's put
Let's
put the church logo on it. <fight. laughs> boys, obviously the weather has been mad now. Yeah, but I was thinking about it this morning. Do you guys dress better in winter or summer?
Winter. All day, every day.
Yeah?
I think winter, yeah. Because you can layer.
Yeah, because summer is just nakedness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's skimpy.
For you. Yeah. No, for you. I've seen you.
I've seen you. Steve, bro, like,
Steve, regardless of the season, Steve's going to be naked.
Bro, am I naked now?
Hello.
Look at your nose. It's -2 and you have a t-shirt on, bro.
You guys have insulated the place.
I bet.
So yeah, trust me.
So do you want? So what was it like? You're better.
I like my coats and jumpers.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I love a jacket hoodie combination.
Same. I love that. I'm just even in the summer I was wearing hoodies, bro.
That's wild. Why are you doing that? Like,
it's just, bro, man. Do you know what? Sometimes you're just cold inside, bro.
No, that's not the issue. So you wear hoodie in the summer to cover.
Oh, bro,
things.
You had to cover, bro.
Do you know what I mean? You know when when
I mean, you guys have the.
Wait, why do you assume what he's covering? Ask him what he's covering.
He's not wrong.
No, straight away.
What's going off
with you? You know when the six pack is extra shy.
Let me tell you, this summer, you're not going to see me with clothes. By the grace of God, like that.
I'll be naked with all of you.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Oh, boy.
I'll be naked with all of you.
My arms will be on show.
Let's go.
By accident, you'll be.
We will hold you accountable.
Kill those boys.
No, we'll hold you accountable.
Hold me, don't
hold me anyhow. but hold me accountable. Boys, yeah. You know those boys, yeah, that they know they got a six pack. And now they're
they'll be like, all of a sudden,
they want to rub their belly. You want to rub your belly. Bro,
no, that way you're on, yeah.
I can't do it now, bro.
That way you're going to be on.
But it's summertime.
100%.
That's summertime.
Should I tell you who's worse than that, yeah? You know them boys with good quads.
Oh,
you can't wear boxer and those shorts together. It doesn't make sense because that's the length of your boxer.
Oh boy!
Kiss me, boy!
That's
oh man.
This next season of my life,
I will join them.
I've got to be like that. I've got to be like
that's
that.
The goal. That's the aim.
Goal. That's the aim. I have to be, bro.
Have you seen? What's his name? Cat Williams this week.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Oh, no, we have to speak about
all over
it, right? No, you see, aside from what he's saying, right? No interview can top it this year. I'm sorry.
What?
20 million views in what? 2 days, 3 days at most.
That's crazy. He came. Talk to me because I didn't watch the interview.
I can't lie, you're going to have to explain who is Cat Williams.
He's a comedian, right?
Cat Williams.
So Cat Williams is a comedian.
Pimp Chronicles.
Serious comedian.
Of course,
OG,
I know.
Right? Yeah, okay. Williams, yeah. So
I'm just shocked. That
he goes on.
Club Shay Shay.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the guy's actual name?
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp. He used to be a footballer. Then football commentator, and then he's not doing podcast. And he goes on there, and he comes with a gun and just goes. Shoot at everybody.
All the Steve Harveys.
Everyone. And, bro, even comedians I've never heard of, he's shooting at them. and the maddest thing was, like, all of you decided to now come out and defend yourself. So there must be a certain amount of truth to what he's saying. Mm. Bro, I'm seeing Ice Cube. What are you talking for? 9-minute video on Twitter.
It's crazy.
Do you know what's interesting to me, right? I didn't watch the interview.
You don't even need to. I promise. Everything's okay.
Yeah, no, bro. And there's a reason being this because I thought he. So Kat is extremely. He's probably one of the best comedians
that
we have. Like, he's extremely talented. But I think he's hurt as well. He's like really. He's really a broken person. Like, call it spade.
Why?
For you to like spend. The interview was like 2-3 hours.
2:40, 2:45.
Coming out. And I know he says he's defending. Comedy or whatever it is. I've seen small clips here and there, but it's like to name all those guys and say Hollywood is this and they're doing this. It's like, it's, for me, when people always say that, and what's this guy's name? Mike Epps?
Yeah.
He did that for Kevin Hart time ago.
Yeah.
Then he started working with Kevin Hart. It's like, oh, this Illuminati, you know, and he started working with Kevin Hart. It's like, when you're outside,
he's outside the club.
You're outside the club. Mm-hmm. But when you're inside, yeah, we're working together now.
I think it's the same situation.
It's
though.
Not because
think, but Kat's issue for me is always that he's been doing this for years. He's been at these guys for years.
Yeah,
and he's always at the guys who are doing well.
But the problem is Kat Williams is equally doing well.
He's equally as funny. He's equally doing well.
Mm-hmm. Do you get me? Mm-hmm. He's equally as funny or funnier than a lot of these guys, and everything that he said has been a lot of the things he said were substantiated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get me? He said, Steve Harvey, he jacked one of my jokes. Someone literally put up a video.
Cedric the Entertainer
jacked one of my jokes. People literally put videos of him doing it, and a few years later, an ex person doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? He's doing this person jacked one of my jokes.
It's always been comedy, though.
That's, you see, the issue is but the currency of comedy is the joke. No, not even the joke. The currency of comedy is the premise. Do you get me? It's like, this is a story. Uh-huh. And the comedians that we like the most are people that are telling stories about their lives in a way that we can all relate to. Mm-hmm. Even though I've never been in that situation, but I can imagine myself in that situation.
Mm.
Now imagine, like, it's the same thing, like, you're a rapper and I'm now releasing a bar. I'm now saying 24. Those are your bars.
Yeah, now, then, you're so, if you're from the 24, you can rap about the 24,
bro. I know, but like, I'm jacking your bars. Like, you did the work. Literally. It is your situation. You penned it down. And all I had to do was just... Not only did I even write it.
Even the same cadence.
No, not even that. I listened to the song, and I Google KD lyrics. And I copy and paste. And I put it on my phone. I went to studio to record it.
But that's what we're assuming. That's what Steve and them did. Like, I think... In general, I've always seen it. No comedian is not. I'm not saying no comedian, but comedians are all cut from like the same cloth. Like, they're all sort of doing the same jokes in different ways. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you can't say that about comedians. You can't.
Yes, you can.
You can't.
Of course.
Give me an example of that, because I don't. Like,
bro, okay. If you look at so mainly topics, right? Chris Rock and Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not talking about, they're not doing the same joke, but it's like, okay, for example, they talk about the kids, or Eddie Murphy, who hasn't copied Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, but like copying someone's jokes is different to copying like the way they do things, different.
But Cat Williams is saying he took my jokes is one thing.
Okay,
That's just part of all the things.
Let me give you the Cedric the Entertainer. Joke, what's his name? Cat Williams did a joke of him driving in a car, and like I can't remember the context of the joke completely, but he did a joke of him driving in a car, and then he's now doing all the movements of him driving, talking to people outside the window, all of that stuff. Cedric the Entertainer did the exact same joke in a spaceship, all the exact same movements, talking to people outside.
Literally the exact same thing,
but the exact same thing. And I was watching, I'm just like,
I don't know. I do understand. Like, for example, there was one time where we started a pod, and we came with the flop chair idea, and then we had some like dudes from like the farm somewhere. They were like
the farm. What county were they from?
I couldn't tell you. One of those ones.
Anything that's not Dublin is a
anything
farm.
That's Dublin. I do apologize to everyone that's outside Dublin. I genuinely love you. Part of these people are from the farm. But they just did the exact same thing. Yeah. And I found it funny, and also I found it like, inspiring people.
They weren't a threat. Okay, so you had an idea that made you 20 grand in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And somebody comes and jacks your idea and makes 20 grand. That's 20 grand you could have made.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys, I just think this is the world.
I agree with the analogy, but the fact that they're not a threat.
Yeah, they're not a threat.
They weren't a threat to you.
Yeah, I understand.
You didn't even consider them a threat. You laughed at it.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. Yeah. But like, you know, my thing is...
But imagine someone bigger than you taking your idea and doing it.
Snapping.
Now it's their idea.
Yeah.
That's the situation.
You'd be snapping. But again, Cat Williams is bigger than Cedric the Entertainer.
It's debatable.
Yeah.
Okay. Commercially, Cedric is probably bigger than him.
But Cat is not, it's not a small boy. Do you know what I mean? It's not like if it was Kevin Hart that jacked Cat's jokes, then... Okay, I see it. You know what I mean? Because Kevin Hart is like the biggest comedian in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a bigger sort of issue there. I'm not even so much like saying that he's hurt from only that perspective. Because like, yeah, people do that. These things happen all the time, right? I think the reason I was turned off from watching that thing is like I just knew what's all about. Him complaining.
Yeah.
And so for example, I would watch a Kevin Hart interview and he wouldn't feed into...
He just motivates. That's what he does.
He's just like, hey, there's room for all of us. Whether he's a plant, whatever it is, he's given us a different perspective of like, don't hate on these people. Mm-hmm. Like, bring them up. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just mainly didn't want to feed into it because I felt like all he was going to do was just be negative. Whether he's hurt or he has a reason to be negative, for 2 hours just to be like... calling people out.
Yeah.
For me, it's like...
It's just, I think for me, the only thing that I really enjoyed is the fact that, like, he got all these people that would otherwise not say anything.
Got them bothered.
They all
Kevin Hart responded.
Mm-hmm. But everyone from up, down,
like,
has responded. It's kind of like, if he was actually chatting shit, I don't believe he would respond at all.
Yeah. No, I think there's always truth in everything, but a lot of the things are conspiracy. Like,
I think the one conspiracy theory thing that he said that like was the whole thing of his life kind of took a turn. Maybe not his life, but his career kind of took a weird turn when he started refusing to play a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he literally said, all y'all niggas have played like women. Yeah. And all of them the niggas receipts. Have... Like, every... All of them niggas have done it. And it's kind of like... It is really weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something really...
I'm not disputing the fact that there's weird stuff going on in that Hollywood place.
Even one of the comedians came out and literally said, after I did that, like, my life just went this way. Mm. Like, went left. Mm. Do you get me?
Yeah.
And I'm just like... There's some truth to certain things you see, and I feel like he obviously has a perspective from being in there to see those things.
Yeah.
But the issue is, I don't think the only problem with him is he's not a good, he's not the person anyone wants to hear from.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do you get me? If Kevin Hart came out and said everything he said about Hollywood,
oh bro,
it's different.
Everyone's kind of different. Like, oh, it's for different. Real?
Yeah.
But like, Kevin Hart's life would probably change negatively as a result of it. And no one is willing
and
to.
And Kat, that's what I'm saying. Like, Kat, if Kat says that, we're like, okay, yes, maybe he's intentionally saying that I'm trying to stay out of Hollywood and all these type of things. Mm-hmm. There. Fair enough, you know? So it's like, it really does sound like the guy's outside the club.
Sound jaded.
He does. But then if you hear some of the other things that's happened to him as a result of him turning down certain things, you'll understand why he's jaded.
Mm. Okay.
Like, saying things like, his kids were taken away from him as a result of him responding to certain things. Do you get me? Mm-hmm. Or him getting arrested or going to prison over a certain period of time. He wasn't doing anything else around it that would cause that to happen.
Okay, but
like, he's just connect.
That's what he's saying.
No, I understand.
I never listen to people who blame everybody else. I never listen to those people. Because if you can never take... So what Kat's saying, 100% of the things that have happened... It's everybody else. I don't think that's in anybody's life they can say that.
I don't know if that is it though. I don't know. Like,
there's a lot more nuance.
Yeah, it's 100%. I get where you're coming from.
If I was to give a comparison of somebody who got ostracized by the industry, Dave Chappelle. Look at how he carries himself, and he carries himself as goated. He came back. My jokes are going to do the talking, right? He talked about all what Hollywood was trying to make him do. We talk about all those type of things there. And he went away. He came back.
He's the exception, though.
But, okay, but...
No, not to dispute anything you're saying. Yeah. Not to dispute anything. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you're saying. But I'm just saying that, like... So, Dave Chappelle is, like, once in a generation talent. Like, he is... He will always be one of one.
Mm-hmm.
So he has certain exceptions that, like...
But Dave wasn't the Dave... Like, Dave Chappelle was obviously great when he's coming up on... what's that show?
SNL.
Yeah. Like, he was great when he was doing that. But he, like, obviously, it wasn't the status he was today. Mm-hmm. But he was really coming up on the rise. Mm-hmm. That's why hence why he was offered that sort of big contract, which he turned down and all these type of things there. So Dave hasn't always been Dave, if you get what I'm trying to say. The Dave that we revere now isn't the same Dave of 25 years ago.
He went away after his like specials, like Killing Me Softly and all that.
Yeah, he went away for a long time. Yeah, it was after that.
Those specials were crazy though.
Yeah.
We can't say that.
Yeah, I'm not disputing. I'm not disputing that he's like, Dave wasn't doing bits. He was definitely doing bits. I just think this is someone who had issues with the industry as well, but didn't come back...
He doesn't come back jaded, but he doesn't. He does say that the industry.
Yeah, he finds a clever way of saying.
That's what I'm trying to say. I have no problem with you. Like, for example, I have no problem with somebody saying the industry is messed up.
Yeah.
But taking hold of the career and saying I'm going to make the narrative for myself.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? David said like, "Yo, I'm doing this. This is who I am. Nobody's going to like." He literally said, "All your communities." Whether it's Alphabet, black, white.
Did you see his latest one? His latest special on Netflix.
No, what? He has a new one.
He has another one on Netflix.
David.
And then he goes back into it again.
No, it is masterful. There's like a 3-minute bit on Instagram. The misdirection was
Oh my goodness. You need to watch it.
I don't even want to say it. I will ruin it.
But it was crazy. That's my thing with Dave. Like, he's able to say, I'm going to let my talent do the talking.
Yeah.
So, I personally, maybe it's just a me thing. I personally respect artists in or entertainers in any field that lets that art do the talking and doesn't respond. So if I ever see somebody do a 2-hour interview about other people, for me, that person's not taking responsibility.
Yeah. So this wasn't even come. This was him just ranting, was it?
Yeah, he was just giving out. He literally was shooting at everybody.
That's but all it's caused the internet. If it's anything, and here's my sort of analysis on this as well. I think Ice Cube, Cedric, who else?
Steve Harvey.
All of them, Kevin Hart, everyone.
Okay, literally,
the list is just keeps going.
By Kevin Hart, who have you heard from in a while?
None of them.
They responded because his
he brought them all.
It's publicity.
But the problem is though, like, there was also a lot of good stories about him. Yeah. People are just like, yo, this guy has helped me in X amount of ways. Yeah. Do you get me?
Birthday boy. Must say everybody.
Happy birthday.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Where? Adam's not here.
No. Ooh. Yeah, like he was just going on about how many people. What was I saying? Yeah, how
people, he's done
good for so many people.
Yeah,
I 29 million views.
Jesus, Lord.
People are really 3 days ago, up.
29 million views. Nah,
damn.
I'm like, Shannon Sharp though. It's only good for him.
Oh yeah,
it's only.
Like, I know he's put out bits like he's like.
No, he literally dropped
when he talks about Kevin.
Chop, 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 bro.
Oh, bro.
The one thing I was actually seeing, when I was watching the interview, I kind of got annoyed because he wasn't giving any pushback. Originally,
he doesn't do that though. He lets people come and speak.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like that was originally what I was thinking. But then I spoke to Jordan about it, and he goes, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's not his thing.
So I was just like, it kind of makes him so sort of the person. It will make him the person that anyone will just come and sit down and just say whatever.
It's
they
like
want.
Drink Champs. People come, they get celebrated. Yeah. You're not really gonna get pushed back.
Yeah.
It's
just
you talking your shit.
If that's the sort of the format of your channel, then I guess
there's other places that you get pushed back.
Yeah, you definitely back. Like. Yeah.
And he said it as well.
He's like just, Breakfast Club, you get pushed back.
Oh yeah,
like Charlamagne is definitely gonna ask you.
He's gonna ask questions. Something unrelated.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Boys, you had your event yesterday, didn't
it? We did.
We had an event yesterday. Yeah.
How was it?
Like that. Speechless.
Oh really? Just like
it was good. It was crazy. I mean, yeah. Okay. We had other people to come and talk about it themselves.
Yeah.
No, we thought it was really good, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you can be objective?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because we don't have anything necessarily to gain from it, if that makes sense.
Okay, like, apart from the conversation.
From the community and the conversation, yes. Yeah, so I think we can...
Be objective about it, okay. Because, you know, some people will just say, yeah, my event was great.
Yeah,
was it really?
Yeah.
It's your event. Do you know what I mean?
Boys, I'm so annoyed. My phone just smashed again.
Just there?
Yeah, boys. This is the, I'm not even joking, this is about the sixth or seventh time.
Yeah, I was going to say seventh time.
Same phone. Oh, yeah. It's just 120 quid.
It's time for a new phone,
though.
I think
huh?
maybe time for a new phone.
And maybe a case.
Yeah, what type of case are you doing? Like,
I know screaming. Maybe a case. Like, the thing is glass, front and back. Glass smashes when it drops.
I hear it, but it's just like, cases annoy me, bro.
Yeah.
And so does 120 quid.
So you need to decide which annoys you more.
Yeah, okay.
120 quid.
No, genuinely, like, I would genuinely, like, if I, give me a brand new phone, give me a 15. Is it 15 now or 16?
Yeah, 15, I think, yeah.
Give me a 15 now.
You're going to spend another 120.
Yeah, you like spending money, that's why.
That would be 840 you spent on your phone.
Still not a new phone, though.
still not a new phone. I mean, if you had one case, you would have saved yourself 840 euro.
Yeah. I have it like that, bro. 2024, I have it like that.
By faith,
I have it like that, bro. We're gonna get into the 100 folds in a second, boys. Mm-hmm. But I remember, I was thinking about this during the week. What is the difference between someone, or is there a difference between somebody changing in a relationship and somebody growing? I know they could be intertwined, but it's like, for example, you got with her, she's smooth, everything's, you got with what you got with, and then or is that maybe her revealing herself? Chat, let me just finish it. She you got with her in winter. Because it was cold.
Yeah.
She was wearing jacket. Summer come now. Everything, she naked. Yeah. So do you, one, do you have a right to sort of like, I have no context to sort of,
I mean, can this. You, let me just, like, would you not have seen, like, her pictures?
No, in this modern day.
No, boys, you might have talked about modern day, bro. Check Bear Girls Instagram, one picture or no picture. Everything's on the highlights.
That's very true.
Don't mind these chicks.
Even in the highlights, it's always on holiday, yeah, so you don't actually know where you're in Dublin.
Don't ever say to check your Instagram. Instagram is not a good place anymore, bro. You can't check those things, really.
People know.
It's private story, bro.
So the guy's unhappy now that, or he's, what,
he's, bro, I'm saying you now, winter, you found wife in winter, because she was wearing jackets.
She wearing long coats.
Okay.
She was just cold. Mm-hmm. But then in summer she shows, it's not cold anymore. Okay. Let's dress for summer.
I think you need to do better research.
But okay, how do you conduct that kind of research?
Like,
actually, I just wanted to. The second I asked the question, I kind of knew the answer, but I still want you to say it anyway.
You know the answer. Right? Yeah. Like, there's obviously like what's on the page, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one's not gonna have no pictures. If you don't have any pictures of yourself on your page,
no.
I don't want to like.
Not even
talk
that,
to you,
bro.
Like.
Not even that, bro. She's got winter pictures. How about that?
That's weird.
No, bro.
That's weird.
If you go, I'm telling you now, you could go on, not any girls, but you could go on a lot of girls' pages, bro. They're not even dressing like that type of way, bro. They just got their, even if it's not winter, they just got like nice fits on, and they got like three pictures, and then the rest is just highlights, bro. And it's nails.
That's weird. That's weird.
Girls, you're with me now. It's nails.
There needs to be something.
There needs to be something that you can hold that. This girl can do this kind of thing.
No! Girls are thief!
That kind of thing, you can find out in conversation.
Yeah.
Boy!
No. If you have boys, and you're like, okay, you know this girl? Tell me a little bit about
her. Yeah.
So,
but what do they call it?
Stop looking at your phone, bro.
No. The ink is coming down slowly, bro.
That's good.
Yeah. No, so what you saying?
Will you learn your lesson though? Will you get a phone case?
No.
You like this?
I like the pain, though. I like the pain. So you said you find out from true conversation.
True conversation, yeah. Like, are you the type of person that likes to dress naked in the summer?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not gonna wear it like that, but
no, but you wouldn't wear it like that, but
like you're far away.
How are you when it's 30 degrees?
No, what you do is you like. You see an Instagram picture of an outfit and you be like, what do you think it is?
Mm. She goes, don't really like it. Because she doesn't like the color.
No.
I don't know what I'm trying to say to you. You can do your research. I don't like it because of the color. But she likes it. She actually likes the idea of nakedness.
You know how inquisitive I am. I would say, is it the color or the texture?
That's what I'm saying. The texture has to get deeper into the color.
It's her body.
I would not say, oh, your body's better. You know, give my compliments. Yeah. But would you wear this?
Or like, you know, leading up to that time, she might even have asked you, oh, I'm thinking of getting stuff for the summer. What do you think about this?
Uh-huh.
You know, from there you can pick up.
And they always have pictures on their phone. Even if they don't post it, mm-hmm. they'll have it on their phone as well.
Okay, so you guys are saying that once you do a great CRB check, you're...
I feel like the question you're trying to ask is, okay, you met this girl, she was dressing this way, and... All of a sudden, now
and it's not even dressing right. So I just use that as an example of just to sort of
just to illustrate
growth or change. It's like could somebody, for example, have been a certain way and then change in a different sort of time in their life, or is that growth?
I think the difference between growth and change is whether you like it or not.
Yes, I was thinking about that as well.
It's whether I like it or not. So if you are the type of person that likes going out and your girl didn't like going out and she grew to like going out, you would call it growth. You wouldn't call it change. But if you're a homebody and all of a sudden she likes going out more,
it's change.
Like,
that's changed. Yeah.
It's like you've changed. I don't like the fact that you've changed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you get me?
That's what I was thinking about as well.
It's completely subjective.
Yeah.
It's completely subjective.
But then isn't that just growth anyways? Like, we call it change, but isn't it just growth?
So... Either could be both, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
growth could be changed.
They're very similar words, but I think when you're talking about growth, let's say you're doing something and you're starting out on a like low scale, But then as time goes on, you progress. It's still the same thing, but it's like evolved into something else. Whereas changes, you're doing this, but then
you stop doing that.
You're doing something completely different. That's changed.
There's a difference. There is a difference.
Because I don't know how I know what everyone's capable of changing, but how capable are we of changing, like, at this age, you know?
I think you have a foundation of who you are.
Yeah, 100. Mm-hmm.
Do you get me? And I think, like, with time, once you're, like, for example, like, snow now, snow is very.
Oh, by the way, guys, this guy is in Red Sea.
He's in Red Sea.
Legit.
He's with the mummies.
Yeah, legit. He's in Egypt right now.
But, like, you see, snow is very chill.
Yeah.
Snow is not going to wake up tomorrow and start being high energy guy.
Bro, have you seen that guy?
No, he's not. He's not going to wake up and be you tomorrow,
bro.
Like,
we don't know that guy, bro.
I know you. Thank you very much.
But people don't know what that guy is.
Growth and change. Are they not the same thing? Is growth not a type of change?
It is.
It could be.
So when someone says you've changed, have I changed for the better or for the worse?
For the worse, yeah.
For the better would be growth. For the worse would be negative change. So, like,
yeah,
they're the same thing, no?
But then I just agree with, like, what Tom said. Like, where at the start, if you, like, it's based on how I receive that growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So based, like, your expectations. Yeah.
If I receive it as growth, it's most likely because mm-hmm. it benefits me in a certain way. Yeah. If it's,
let's say, if you're having a conversation with your missus about, oh, I need you to communicate to me more.
Yeah.
If she starts communicating with me more, you're going to be she's grown.
Yeah.
And is that not what keeps the relationship going, though? Anyways, communication. So that's growth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, again, like we always say, like, for example, you get with your girl at 21, and then in 10 years' time, you're going to grow, and you're going to be different people than you were when you were 21.
Yeah.
And
you might have some fundamentals.
Someone from the outside will look at you and be like, you might have changed, but really, nah, we're just grown. And we kind of like, I think when you're in a relationship, right, you're thinking about, yeah, we're going to grow together.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you don't account for the time where, like, she's going to be different from, you know, where I am, and I may not like that person. That's why I'm always like, how do people not like their partners or their wives or whatever it is? Like, genuinely, when they were 25, they genuinely liked each other, I believe.
Yeah.
That's why, hence why they said, let's marry each other.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, it's like, I hate the sight of her.
Do you know what? I was having a conversation with my missus last week, and it was about, like, I was kind of saying to her, like, oh, I don't like how certain of your friends, in quotation marks, walk all over you, right? So when I was having that conversation with her, I realized in that moment that when she grows in this area, not to say that I walk all over her, but the opportunity for me to walk all over her will be gone as well, right?
100%.
Meaning that change,
yeah,
it's me, it affect me.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. It's affect me. But like, and for her, the person that she needs to become to be the person that doesn't is like always calling shit out. Like, I don't like your tone here. Or I don't like.
So for you as well, I mean.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So my thing is, I lost my point. It's gone. I'm so irritated. Mm. What were we talking about before?
But then the thing is, like,
she grow to hate the person.
So I think it's in those instances that, like, you can grow to hate the person, because you may have been pointing out something in the other person's character without the realization that I will also be the receiving end of this.
On that thing,
and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't like you. Well, you told me that.
To be to change.
And I've changed and you don't like me anymore. Yeah. It's like, what did you think was going to happen?
You got with the girl for a certain reason.
Yeah.
For the type of person she was, which is fair, which is good. But I think that's why I think when sort of looking for a life partner, I think you should look at some things that shouldn't change. Does that make sense?
It's like that's what I'm saying, the fundamental of a person's character. Are they honest?
Yeah.
Insert those fundamentals there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, those things will always transcend any other change.
Because a dresser can change tomorrow now. Someone can come. Oh boy.
What do you have?
I'm nothing against what happened. Listen, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm strong. But I've seen it for some of the brothers.
For better, for worse, bro.
I'm up, bro. Me, David, same. Easy. As for me and my household, shall praise the Lord. Serve the Lord.
I hear that though.
Yeah. Do you think people are actually ready for, you know, when people say, how deep do you think people take the vows? For better, for worse.
Nah. It's words, bro.
Yeah, to a lot of people's words.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. When you're writing your vows, right, you're thinking about two things. I'm not saying this from any experience. I've never written vows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just, you know. No, because people like to incriminate me on this podcast.
Just I never put out vows. There, just
hey,
there,
listen. Just, hey, I've never been married. Right. So, but I think if you're writing vows, you're thinking about 100%. You're thinking about your wife. Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking that this is in front of people. So maybe
a performance
it might be the communication of it as well, that you might have added some things to make it sort of sound nicer and be all...
Why are you doing that, though?
Because, like, again, you're not going to create a speech. If you're talking to your wife, right, and it's a very important sort of thing, yes, you're thinking about communication and how you're delivering it, but it's like you could be as raw as possible because, one... You're already at that level with her. You're already vulnerable with her. You're able to tell her some deep stuff about you, those type of things there. When it's in front of people who are going to, are supposed to clap at the end, part of you, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume part of you is like...
I don't think you should flave
your vows.
The important stuff. Just flave the minor stuff, like the important stuff, keep that.
What's some minor stuff that you can flave?
I don't know. It's like, I love you. Just the extra. No.
Flave, I love you.
Just the extra. When people are making English sound nice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You can do that, but the core of what it is should be from the heart, you know?
100. I've never been in that situation, so I don't know how those vows sort of in your head get to the back seat, you know what I mean, like so you get married, like that's all a day, that's all like this high
it's
that
a,
you really
it's
go
a performance
through.
Almost,
you're like, my vows, I told you how much I love you, all this stuff, blah blah blah, and you get back to the mundane of like, this is after the honeymoon and you've already gone to mountaintops in different regions, and now you're relaxed.
It's very easy because like the vows are like the why behind you, whatever you're doing. So like, let's say if you even want to do fitness, you have a why. But let's say in January you're really strong on your why. March comes, you're starting to slack because you've forgotten it.
Yeah,
because it's constant life reminder stuff. Yeah. Everything like
it also comes with familiarity as well. I mean, after a while, you just get used to.
What's that statement? Like, familiarity breeds contempt.
I've always found that sort of intriguing. I think. Do you think systems work? Do you think systems could work in sort of in relationships?
100%.
What do you mean by systems?
For example, if you're gonna, you know, when I started, you know, rubbing my stomach, it will be based on the system that I followed throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
Do you think? So what I mean is goals. Everyone has goals. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has systems to reach the goals.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that, for example, I want to be a good husband to my wife, or we want to have a great relationship? Do you feel like systems help that?
I think so, yeah.
100%.
You have to be intentional about it.
Yeah.
You can't
just
let it happen.
It's
not random.
It's not even let it just happen. It doesn't just happen. Do you get me? The second that happens, it's a decline.
Like with anything that you want to do, it doesn't just happen. Like this studio, it didn't just happen. You guys thought about it. You have a system, a planned process of like getting things to where they are. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, because I sat down, I was like, do you know what? I wonder, because again, I'm always trying to improve myself, be better, be a better version of myself. But like, I'm seeing how that works with somebody else, like together. Like we have to have a system. Our system.
Yeah, there needs to be an agreement of like.
Make this thing better.
I was watching Jordan Peterson, and he was giving advice to married couples, and he was just like, for marriage to kind of work and be successful, every single week, you meet up and talk. Not about how.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, did I do good this week?
Yeah.
What did I do bad? Yeah. What can I improve on? Yeah, are you happy?
Yeah.
What can I do to make you happy? Mm. Like,
don't ask a girl, are you happy, bro? ask her.
But think about it, right? So, when I thought about that, logically speaking, right? If anything is wrong, you have 1 week to improve.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a week on week. Mm-hmm. So week on week adjustment opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
If you are speaking once a year,
yeah.
The amount of things that can go wrong,
bro.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bro, that 1 year could be the difference between a divorce or
100%.
You know what I mean?
Because then here's the thing, right? I remember I was telling you about never split the difference, how to, like tactical empathy, sort of mirror and label, get more out of people when they're talking, right? Yeah. So you're like, so how does that make you feel? And the person says, oh, one, he's curious to how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe.
Yeah.
Let me say how I feel.
Mm.
And they begin to tell you how they feel. And you realize that, oh my God, this would have never been said if I didn't ask for it to be said.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or it would have come out in a way where it's like divorce or I'm breaking up, whatever it is. So you have to be... You have to have those systems of constant curiosity of your own performance in the relationship. Like, in terms of, like, did you, like, ask the questions that you won't even like.
Mm.
Did you like where I took you? And she says, no, but all that is
okay.
Next time, I'll take you a better place. Yeah, it's all, that's all that really means.
It's data.
Yeah, it's all it is.
If you perceive it as just information and opportunity for me to make a better and well-informed decision, If you change your mindset in that way, it's like, okay, so did you like it? Yes or no? No. Okay, what didn't you like about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't like this. Oh, I was like, okay. So you don't like this and that. Yeah. Cool.
Because what we would take that first as is an attack on me.
On my ego. Mm.
You need to be open to that criticism. Mm.
Yeah.
You need to be able to.
And like, I think part of the problem is people are unwilling to have uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah, man. I'm trying my best to be comfortable with uncomfortable conversations.
Same.
I'm even trying my best now to like, So someone said something to me the other day, and I responded some like in a spiritual sort of with a spiritual answer, and I said, that wasn't helpful, wasn't it? And they goes, no, it wasn't. I was like, fair, but I was open enough to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need a spiritual answer then. Mm-hmm. You needed to care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like you didn't need Philippians 4. You know what I mean? How does that make you feel?
Bro, I promise you, like, you need to even have a level of self-awareness. Like, do you know how self-aware you were for you to be like, I'm going to answer a question. Ooh.
Yeah.
That wasn't helpful, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get me?
I've realized, I've obviously said what I've said.
Yeah.
But I've realized while I was saying it that this is probably not the way to to respond to this situation, because it's not because it's a bad answer, but because you have to be, you know, because you're talking doesn't mean you're communicating, right? So like I have to realize that what does this person need for me to accurately give them the answer. And if somebody says something like, you know, says whatever it is, I have to be okay with like pausing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as guys, right, especially my household, like, it's like, have the answer. Like, have the answer. Whenever someone asks, just have the answer. Mm-hmm. Somebody could come up to me about something I've never experienced in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, have the answer. Mm-hmm. So now I'm realizing, shut up for a second.
Yeah, that's pause. Really important, yeah.
I'm not sure, I don't know too much about that, actually.
No, it's really important. Like, I think understanding how the other person receives information how they also give information is really important. Having to learn that a lot myself.
Yeah.
Have you guys actually, something I've been like kind of reading up on a bit is attachment styles.
I haven't read about it.
I took the test just to realize in your relationship, it actually helps with knowing why people behave like certain ways and how they receive information different ways.
Okay. It's really good. Like, what are the different styles?
There's anxious.
Okay.
There's avoidant and then there's secure. I think those are the three ones I know. I don't know if there's any more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you find some people that are really secure in their relationship, that they don't, doesn't matter what the other person does, they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's people who, there's the avoidant, is that when you guys are getting closer, they pull back. Yeah. And then there's anxious, is like they need constant reassurance and whatnot from their.
What do you fit into?
Is my anxious? Expose yourself.
Yeah, bro, you brought the topic up. You gotta talk about it.
Well, with my parents, I'm actually quite secure.
Okay. Okay.
I'm my friend, I'm actually quite secure.
Yeah, with your partner.
With my partner.
Yeah.
I'm moving towards secure.
I love that.
I'm actually moving towards secure.
But you have to move from somewhere. Where are you?
Slightly anxious.
Okay, that's all right.
Without doing the test, where would you say you were?
I'm,
because you know you're single now, fine boy.
Steve, that's why he's naked.
You really need to rest. Steve.
So who were you?
I think naturally I would be avoidant. Avoidant, yeah.
It's interesting.
I would say I'm probably like a cross between anxious and avoidant. I see, thinking about it now, yeah, I'm probably a bit of those two. What would you say you are? I'm actually going to go do this test.
I want to do the test. I don't know what.
Should I lie?
I would assume I'm secure. As well.
Anxious avoidant. Yeah, I'm on the line.
Yeah.
I'd say
I'd be anxious avoidant.
Yeah. I would assume I'm secure, but
so
who
there's
knows?
Four secure. I'm ambivalent, which is anxious, avoidant, and then there's disorganized.
Oh, disorganized. 100%. Oh, 100%. Disorganized. That sounds like me.
Yeah, disorganized.
Sounds like me. Sounds like me.
From communication and how you receive
information. Actually, so I wanted to ask, you know, so when you spoke to that person, give them the spiritual advice, and why didn't you pivot straight away? Because I feel like you sensed that it may not have been enough. Why did you decide to ask or offer that it wasn't great, as opposed to, but this, do you get me, or and this?
I wanted to show my awareness.
To them.
To them that not every religious answer is needed at certain times.
That makes sense. So it was a teaching moment.
It was a teaching moment. Listen, I'm aware that wasn't supposed to be the case. But even in terms of communication, right, how do you guys learn? And hear me on this. You both had your dads in your life. So... Yeah. In regards to your mom's teaching and your dad's teachings, one, who did you gravitate to in terms of trying to emulate? And two, who got true to you the most?
Yo, what's happening, family? It's your boy KD, and Where's Your Head At? I have just partnered up with Yems Fitness. So as the year's coming to an end, the new year's approaching, everybody's trying to look fit, everyone's trying to be fit, everyone's trying to get into their fitness, you know, everyone's trying to, you know, be fit again. Yems Fitness is an online health and fitness coach who has been transforming lives for so long. If you're just looking to lose body fat, gain muscle, or just improving your overall fitness and health, Yems Fitness is the perfect person for you, and all you got to do is sign up. What he offers is full training, nutritional support, accountability, frequent check-ins, and access to the Yems Fitness community. All you guys have to do is use Where's Your Head At promo code WYHA10, and you get 10% off of all the one-on-one coaching packages, and you will thank us for it. Trust me, you will thank us for it. Don't miss out on this. The offer does end by the 31st of January, so like, for real, right? Love you guys.
I think it depends on the situation. So in matters where I need somebody to be slightly more tender with me, I gravitate towards my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But like in matters where I need to like take action and do shit for my life, my dad, because my dad is very really really action orientated.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that guy, you know, in terms of like progression. Like he's that kind of guy that was saying that when my son is 18, I want him to be thinking like somebody that's 23.
Oh,
so
he
kind of forced me to grow up like pretty quickly and stuff like that. So yeah, it just depends on what aspect. But if I wanted to talk to my mom with regards to something more careful, more tender, I'll talk to her.
That's so interesting. What about you?
I would say it's similar, very similar. So my dad is just like, whatever is worth doing well.
Whatever you're
feeling about it, doesn't matter. You need to get whatever it is action. Done to the best of your ability. With my mom, it's like she listens. She like wants to know how you feel about certain things, and like she takes that time. Even the way like she approaches you, like you were mentioning Chris Foss's book, Never Split the Difference.
Yes,
like her tone as well will change.
Yeah,
and not just like sets
puts
the,
you
the
at atmosphere, ease.
Puts
yeah,
you
yeah.
at ease. Yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So here's why I was that's why I asked that question is because I was discussing about how I don't have any science behind it, I don't have any sort of facts behind it, but I think men follow men in terms of sort of action. So you both talked about how your dads were action orientated, like it's about
or even pushed you to be
pushed you to like do.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Where your mom was sort of, how are you? So your dad was do, your mom was you. Like it was about
the person that you're
person. Are,
everything.
Mm-hmm. That was about the thing
that you did,
right? Which is those two are needed, right? But I always think that, for example, how I'm going to communicate to my daughter would be mostly through words, but how I communicate to my son would be through what I'm doing.
Example, yeah.
Example, right? Yeah. So, for example, my little brother. He's 18 now, but he's like, obviously he has two big brothers in the house.
Yeah.
And so if he sees us get up at 6 a.m., he feels like he's doing something that's wrong by sleeping a bit. Yeah. So he just like
gets up at 6
a.m. So he's into the practice as well. Well, my sister doesn't give a rat's if we're up at 6 a.m., right? Well, she might need like, us to sit down and have a chat with her. And we found that sitting down to have a chat with her gets true to her further than any other thing because she needed that sort of personal thing.
Yeah.
So then... Because this is all based on some like study I was doing about Genesis, bro. But it's, you know, shepherds in the Bible, not in the Bible actually, not in the Bible.
Shepherds generally.
Shepherds in the Middle East,
yeah.
Ancient Israel, all those that region were predominantly women.
Really?
That's crazy.
So here's the beautiful thing about God is. He uses Moses to tend flock. He uses Abraham to tend flock. He uses David to tend flock. He uses Jesus to call himself the great shepherd.
Yeah.
So he uses people who weren't usually shepherds in that time to show the balance of care and like action. Example.
Yeah.
So men, like, you know the way we always say, God doesn't use, like God usually like uses the unqualified. In a sense, you know, that whole side of
calls,
yeah, the call, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's the whole idea of like, this is not common for a man to be a shepherd, because it actually was like, it's like almost like this sort of tedious work that it was like rabbis. Like if you ask any Jewish rabbi, they were like, "You guys think the three wise men were men?" And there's actually a debate about that, because there was male shepherds, but predominantly it was actually a woman's job. And you could do some research on it. It's like, it's very, I was like, what?
Mad.
Took my, like, it blew my mind. But it was like, so then God using those men to be shepherds was sort of using the uncommon thing to show the example of like the balance that's needed.
Yeah.
Like, we need the tenderness of the shepherd, but we also need that sort of leadership of the shepherd.
Yeah.
Like, so that's why the two things. Marry well, and then I got into the conversation of like, why do men not like to listen to women?
Context.
If a man came in here, and hear me, and this will actually hopefully would marry into your cover into hundredfold. If a woman comes in here, and I'm not saying this is for all men, right? But if a woman comes in here and sort of says, I'm a businesswoman, I do this and do this, like, not like we won't listen to them, but it's like, if a man comes in here, men are usually sort of receptive to the man
a lot more than
because we want to be the man. That's why I was thinking. Yeah. That's how I was thinking in those lines. But why wouldn't we listen so much? I must say we don't listen to women, but we listen to women, of course. Anyways, come on, quickly.
Of course you do. Yeah.
But you know, for example, you would hear for like. In church settings,
it's rare to see a woman preaching.
A woman leading is like, men sometimes don't want to hear that or whatever it is. So, why is that the case? Do you guys know? Or
is my
theory right?
Could there be a link between that and, I guess, the culture that we are predominantly in? I think there could be a link.
Could be.
Do you get me? Because like, Africans. yeah. that whole thing. You know what it is. We all know what it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? So could there be a link, or would you say you also feel that kind of across the board?
I don't have much of a context outside of my context to see how men are receptive to like women. Like for example, you know, there's obviously we know now women are doing so many amazing things in all across the field in life, period. Stuff, yeah. But it's like men are not. I think we're just more receptive to men. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like obviously, like you, if you see someone that looks like you, you're gonna be more open to whatever they have to say. That's something.
For example, your YouTube suggestions.
Yeah.
Or who you watch on YouTube. Are there a lot of women in there?
No. I'll be honest. I'll tell you a lot of my like that kind of content. If I'm watching podcasts, it should be kind of male centered.
Yeah.
People giving advice to be male centered. Yeah. Like, but I think a lot of it is more. So there's two things for me, right? And this is interesting, actually. I actually heard the opposite. So a woman was actually talking about, she says, I don't like taking advice from men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, the reason why, he goes, she watched, there's this YouTuber called Casey Neistat. Mm. He was on Steve Bartlett's show, right? And his kind of life story is like, oh, I had a kid from really, really young, and I had to go to New York, and I kind of slaved away until I became the man that I am now.
Yeah.
She was watching it, and she was just like, okay, so you worked as a kitchen porter and you did all these things, but what about your child?
Yeah.
Where was your child?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And when I watched it, I was just like, okay, so there's a style of communication between the two that will kind of help whoever is receiving it. So I think there's probably a link between, like, there's a manner in which a guy will communicate to me via video or in person that will probably kind of hit me better or more or I'll understand it immediately without you needing to provide so much context because the foundation is, okay, we're both men, we're both black, we're both this. So there's so many conversations already. We don't need to have. Do you get me? So, okay, you can now just give me the information and I've just received it. Do you get me? As opposed to like the struggle of a black man and a black woman, completely different.
Yeah.
So there's so many other things in how you would communicate to me that I'll probably be like, oh, but why didn't you just do this instead? Yeah. Well, she can't. Yeah. Her life is different to mine. Do you get me?
So I think there's relatability. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think maybe in communication style and what can be communicated is probably why guys would probably look to guys for information as opposed to look to women and vice versa as well.
Okay. So I agree. I think that's sort of, again, my YouTube search, the people I listen to, I'm really men. Mm-hmm. And that's not because I don't like any like women. It's just like, if I do listen to women, it would be like 90% men and 10% women. But that's not it's not something that I've only realized until I was having this conversation. Like, I listen to the women around me. I definitely talk to them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I talk to more women than I talk to men
in real life.
Yeah. But in terms of like maybe something to pass down, it'd be more even music guys like rap. You don't have many guys who will listen to Nicki Minaj. I must say that there's not, I must say, you know, of course, but it's like her fan base is mainly.
Yeah. But I'd say the difference between that is content.
But then, I know Jay-Z's probably audience is mainly males, but like, he would have more of a balanced audience than Nicki. Or J. Cole will have more of a balance. Go to the concerts, bro.
I hear you, but I feel like when it comes to rap, there's a slight difference.
Okay.
That's
one example of that thing where there could be so much nuance in that, but then church.
Yeah. Like even like there's you go to church and you bring in guest speakers.
Yeah.
How many of them are women?
Mm. Right,
over the course of a year as opposed to even
at that, right?
Yeah. Or even your pastor's wife preaching.
That's what I'm trying to say. Even at that. Mainly when we look at these things, right? And it goes back to sort of that concept of the shepherd.
Mm.
If a man is able to communicate well and pastor well, he gets the whole pie. You know what I mean? I think sometimes, and it is interesting because like, for example, I think Sarah Jakes is a great preacher.
She is.
But I think women love her more than men, and that, do you know what I mean? Whereas Apostle Samuel, you don't think about it's awful about men. It's like it's about everybody.
You don't think of gender when you think of
Samuel. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Is it so? Is this a problem with guys, or is this like that's just the way it is?
I think could it also be the whole idea of like men being the head? I'm just throwing that out there because I could be my idea could be wrong.
Yeah.
But like, could it be that whereby, if you're in a leadership position as a man, your gender doesn't even come into question? It's something that isn't seen. Ooh. It's then about how well do you lead? Mm. How well do you speak? And everything that you can give as a leader, as opposed to if you're a woman that leads, it's kind of like, oh, but she's a woman, and then it's everything else that you can do. Do you get me? So I think if the general kind of or the mass perception is the man is the head or the man is the leader, then that becomes the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe in people's subconscious, women leading might be deviating away from kind of what they know to be normal.
From the patriarchy.
The patriarchy, huh? I found it very interesting, that sort of dynamic, because I've seen it.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, because we know how we learn. Like, not everybody knows how we learn, but we're kind of aware of who we follow to learn certain things, you know. And men don't usually tend to do that towards the opposite sex. We more so stay with what's familiar, which is okay.
Yeah.
You know, but I just found it interesting.
To be honest, I think that in the realization of that, you can give yourself a phenomenal edge,
as a
human being.
Okay. Yeah,
do you get me? As in, okay, so who are the women that people aren't listening to? What do they have to say?
Yeah.
Did you get me? All of a sudden, you've opened yourself to this wealth of knowledge that you would never have.
Yeah, because it's not your tendency to do that. Yeah,
so there's opportunity there, I guess.
Hundredfold, talk to me. What is that about? Yeah. what is like? Talk about the concept.
We have something to say, but we'll get to it later. It's a bit kind of difficult ish, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So Hundredfold. Talk to me.
So I think it was around just like this time last year, maybe like 2 weeks before. Yomi was
December 2022.
Yeah. You were reading a book, Think and Grow Rich, and in it was talking about having like community. A group, community, like minds and all that kind of stuff. And it was saying that would be so sick if we had it. I know like a handful of people and stuff. And we're like, yeah, that'd be cool. Cut the call. I think he calls me back like straight away or something like that. He was like, let's just do it.
In the book, it also talks about, so apart from saying like deliberately seek the company of people who help you achieve the life you desire, I've memorized that quote so many times. Yeah, but then it also in the book, it also talked about taking action.
Yeah.
So of course, like you're reading something, you want to apply it. Mm-hmm. So straight away, it's like, bro, instead of like saying this would be nice to have,
do it.
Yeah. And like the main issue that like let's say we would have run into like on our own personal journeys is that let's say you're reading like a book like Rich Dad Poor Dad and you start thinking about different things and it's like, all right, this is cool. How many other people around me, my age, are thinking about these different things and there's no one really there that you can like gel with and pour into. That's one issue. And then there's also the issue of like there's older guys that are successful. They've done things, but we don't have access to them.
We don't see them. They're not out there. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know where they are, where they chill. So like that's an issue. And then those older guys as well, they are at their level and they're looking for young people like us that have energy and just need direction. They're looking for us to pour the wisdom into. They can't, they don't know where we are and they don't know how to like meet us at our level. So there's a few different issues there that we decided that we would kind of like solve through creating the community of young people, getting the older guys to come in and like pour into us, share their expertise on whatever domain they have. The three pillars that we have are personal, professional and financial. So within that, there's so many different things that we can get a speaker to come in and talk about. So, and that's what happens at our monthly hangout every month. So, yesterday we had the first hangout of 2024.
Yeah.
So we had Afolabi come in to speak to the men. He kind of talks about
let's say, financial stuff as well as professional stuff.
Yeah.
We also had Grace Oladipo come in and talk to our new cohort of women.
Yes.
So initially we started out as just for men. And I guess you can talk about why we started out just for men.
Yeah, we started out just for men because there wasn't that much space for black men.
For sure, for sure.
It wasn't that kind of space. Mm-hmm. We didn't see the space, so we thought we'd just create the space.
Mm.
So that's kind of why we started out for men initially. And yeah, we just kickstarted it then. But then as we continued throughout the year of 2023 was like we experienced growth. And we just thought like, what we're experiencing here, it can't stop here. Like we'd love for the women to experience this as well. Mm. But then of course, maintain that space because guys, what we found out was that guys started talking. Like boys were talking about mental health issues. Black men were talking about mental health issues in these rooms that they wouldn't ordinarily talk about. But we know that if there's a woman in that room, they probably wouldn't want to.
It changes the dynamic. Like.
Changes the dynamic, and they wouldn't want to.
Don't talk about mental health anymore. Let's talk about how much money he has, though.
Yeah.
He's talking about 20 different
bro, it's one investment stuff. But like, we
20,000 investments.
Yeah. You know, we start seeing guys being very, very vulnerable because you can see, because the struggle is similar. Mm-hmm. And we're all able to, like, share different things. So, yeah. Even though we've expanded and we've grown and we have women on board, we've still maintained the seclusion for the men. So we have a men's room and a women's room every month. Now that's the
and every week or every month?
Every month, the first Saturday of every month. And it's important to note that we didn't actually say, oh, let's just do it for women. Like, women were coming to us saying, oh, we want one for ourselves. Where's our own?
They always be at this, though. They always, women always be at this, though. Let's have our own thing, boys.
We can't have anything.
Start your own thousandfold, though. 50-fold. Every day, women. No, but you know what? You know what? I think obviously, being that a few, especially at the start, was such a new thing for that sort of thing, you know, especially that I've seen and. I notice, you know, a few things when we talk about reinforcing sort of behaviors or patterns amongst boys, like that's such a big thing. I don't think many boys or many men in this country, black men, have communities where sort of the values, behaviors, things that they want to see are reinforced by other people. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, man wants to, I want to grind. But then I look at my mate and he's like, he has his headset on playing FIFA. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe I should just be with him, just play that thing. Yeah. Rather than if I see him saying, yeah, let's grind as well, then I get more motivation. Three of us, four of us. Like, do you know how these Asians, some of these Asian guys, how they move? They move bro, communal.
Everything's
bro.
Crazy.
It's communal.
And that's what we need to do. Like, that's what we've noticed, that just being in the room.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, at this point, I'm almost tired about people asking me what the 100-fold hangouts is about.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'd find that some people might ask you from a place of skepticism because they don't know what it's about and it's new, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, just come to the room.
Yeah.
Because even for us, every time before a hangout, we're probably a bit apprehensive. We don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when people start talking, the energy in the room that's bouncing off, the inspiration that people are getting just by hearing that this person has bought 6 houses, he's a black man, he wasn't even born here, he's bought 6 houses, or this guy owns a construction company where he's handling like billions, and he's saying that I'm almost 50, I'm looking for, I hand my business over to
someone that doesn't look like me,
like what about these young guys, you know, these things happen and they're in this country, so it's just like when you see somebody that does something you have that possibility in your mind that, okay, this guy looks like me. He's probably had more resistance than I have. So I can probably do the same thing.
I think the one thing about the 100-fold Collective that I really like is let's say you're 30 now and you're sitting across the guy that's 4 years old.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, I have a company. Just like, so if I change my systems,
change
my patterns, in 10 years I could be either where he is or even better.
You know,
it's really the power
of being in the room. Like even like the times I was there, there was like, what's your goals? I don't know if you still do it. Like,
it's
like,
that's one of the core things.
That's
that we
core things, right? It's like, what's your goal? Like,
oh, okay.
So to explain it, every hangout we have a goal setting session where apart from all the inspiration and the feeling in the room, we need like tangible results that we're all working towards. So you set a goal for the next hangout. Okay. So by the next hangout, I want to achieve this, and these are the things that I'm going to do to make that happen.
Okay.
And then at the next hangout, we come and we say, okay, I achieved the goal. I didn't achieve the goal. Why do you think you achieved it? Why do you think you didn't achieve it? Mm-hmm. What do you think you can do really better for next time so you can achieve? And then you set another goal for next time and then rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And this thing works, though.
So. It does.
I mean, there's evidence. I mean, there's a guy, one of the guys who started with us from the jump. Mm-hmm. He, 6 months in, he said, the first goal he said was he wanted to buy a house. Yeah. 6 months in, because he was in the room getting information from people who've done it before, the guy's got his house 6 months in.
And there's a thing as well about, because we also open it up to the floor, and like you can say, okay, this is my goal for the next month. This is what I'm going to do to achieve it. But also, when you come the next month, you can say, this was my goal. I achieved it. I didn't achieve it. And you're saying that to the group. So it's like a thing of being accountable to the group as well, not just yourself.
So. I think the first one I went to, and I was like, I remember my goal that time being, I need to sleep.
Mm. Yeah, you were tired, bro.
Legit, that was my goal.
Yeah.
Did you sleep? Yeah, no, at that time, at that period, I had a bit of a rest. So I was more rested. I was more like relaxed for the next call. I was like, yeah, my goal sort of was achieved. Like, I did sleep, because at that time, specifically at the time that I came first, I was, and I realized this about sort of busyness, right? And I don't, this won't go too far left, but it's like, busyness is everyone's busy, right? Or people could, people that do a lot of stuff could be busy. But if you schedule yourself well, I know it sounds like
your manager mama, is. Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like 1 + 1 = 2. But it's like my brain is cleared up. It's like last 2 months, I have space now. I literally have space to think.
Yeah.
It's crazy, because what was happening is I had all these tasks to do every single day. But I was starting them at like, 7 p.m. Meaning that I'm sleeping at 4 a.m. But I've got to be up now in the next 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, it's this whole like, you don't have time to do anything because you have a lot of things to do. But really, if you would just schedule them well,
schedule yourself,
and just keep at that schedule every single day, what I was just seeing, my brain was clearing up. 5 o'clock. Bro, the other day, on Friday.
But this guy was messing inside the group chat. We're like, David? what is going on here? But I was like, oh yeah, I've done this. We can do this. You're where? Can you send me this? David?
I just have space. Bro, I have so much space. What, on Friday, bro, I went to the gym twice, boys.
Twice.
I went in the morning, and I did all my tasks that whole day. Around 6 o'clock.
You're bored now.
Sleep going again. But do you know what I mean? So like, that was a big goal for me that I'm almost sort of really realizing now, when it comes to like resting, but just having that space where, like, and I think it's big, boys, because beyond that, I'm even in the chat now where it's like, okay, if we have our schedule for the week, we put it in, we snap it, we keep ourselves accountable to those type of things there, and you can't really like go in and around that, like, you should be in control of your own schedule. And not being in control of your schedule means that anybody, if they say, Steve goes, let's go to the park, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be here at 2:30. If I don't have that in my schedule, if I know that, okay, for example, I say I have to be in the studio at 2:30 because I need to, like, fix something in the studio. If I have a schedule, I know I have to be here at 2:30. If I don't have a schedule, it's a task.
Yeah.
I have to be in the studio to fix something. Whenever I get to do that, is whatever. So if you hit me up at 11, like, bro, 2:30, let's go park. Then I'm like, yeah, I could go park, because then after. Because it's only a task.
Yeah.
But if a schedule, I'm so sorry, bro. I can't go at that time.
You can say no.
I can say no. I've realized I can say no.
It gives you the opportunity to say no.
Sweet. I can say no.
It's a discipline to say no as well.
Yeah. But so we have to put that in, and there's points for every sort of thing you do. I think Steve Barrett does this, right, with his sort of group. If you have the least points in the week,
you get kicked out.
Out you go. Mm. So random, I've got kicked out. Yeah, you know people have got kicked out. Random, I've got kicked out of the group for a week. And it's just, you know, ego. I don't want to get kicked out of the group.
It won't happen again.
You know? So it's that type of vibe where it keeps you. All I'm talking about is like that sort of community around you that keeps you accountable, that reinforces the same sort of thing that you want to do. Is so powerful for you sort of achieving your goals.
Mm-hmm. So just to even piggyback to the other conversation, I think, remember what you were saying about kind of men communicating versus women communicating to you from leadership position and stuff. I think this is probably why here.
Do you get
me? So like you guys said, when you got a group of guys together, all of a sudden guys are opening up. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? There's community here. There's people are speaking to you in a way that you just understand.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to feel free.
So beneficial.
Do you get me? Then also with the group chat, you're creating environments that work naturally to you as a man.
Yeah.
You're competitive. Oh, I don't want to get kicked out.
Yeah.
Oh, your ego. I will affect your ego unless you get your shit done. Do you get me? And like, I think these are kind of the moments and examples that you see those things play out.
Well. No, big ups on that, like, for sure. I think
that was almost a flop.
I was almost a flop. I was like big.
So originally, so I guess he raised it up with me, and I thought about it, but it's actually been resolved in this conversation. But originally it was kind of like, did you guys split too early? Because you know. When you first started, I was like, this is a thing for men. Mm-hmm. Men need this. This is really, really sick. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you're including women, which is amazing. Let's make that clear. But like, it was kind of like, oh, but like, what about the guys? But like, obviously that you then said, split up. Like,
that's
you
know, I think what's important is one thing
two
to know
specific
that
environments here.
So when the idea came, because apparently I'm the dreamer in the group, yeah?
Yeah.
So the guys were like, you know, we shouldn't do this too soon. Some of them were on the fence about it.
Apprehensive about it.
Mm. But one thing, Joseph was in the room. Joseph was made sure that, you know, we got our messaging right and made sure that, yes, we're coming together, but we need to be distinct in our communication to people that to let them know that, look, we're not letting go of what we have for the men.
Yeah.
Just so that they know that that space is still there for them. So what we plan to do is that once a month we have the hangout, the 104 hangout, separate for men,
separate
for women. Yeah. And at the end, after we're all done, then like it was yesterday, we put it out on social media. Everybody started communicating, networking, mixing together, going in and out of each other's rooms, whatever like was that was happening. But then at the end of each quarter, we will have a mixer.
Yeah.
So one mixer where we're able to recap what was being set up already, and then have a male speaker, a female speaker come through. So everybody's in that same room. And I was telling Stephen on the way here, this is still an idea. Joseph will run it by you, don't worry. But like, the idea is that, you know, we'll have breakout sessions. So space is becoming a problem.
Wow.
Yeah, space is becoming a problem. We actually sold out yesterday. Wow, and this is a bit of a testimony. We started off with 7 men. Sold out 70 tickets. People were messaging, can I come yesterday as well. So like, the demand is there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so yeah. So instead of having everybody, let's say, I don't know how many people released the tickets to for the mixer, but like we'll have breakout sessions and everybody can now share what goals they've been working on. We have it separate, but then we're still having that sense of community where everybody comes together and knows what each other's doing and learning from one another. Yeah. I think that's really,
it's really good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, that was our thing.
Yeah, like, you're worried about that.
And obviously that was from an outside perspective. Was like, outside and sort of inside. You know, from when I've been in the sessions, I know the emphasis was on black men. And then, again, I remember I used to do Brotherhood.
Mm.
I used to do like a thing, more Christian things just for boys, and who came? All the girls.
Of course.
Where's
it's
our own?
Brotherhood.
Where's our own? I was like, so then what would we do? We said, okay, we'll do like what, literally a mixer. We did the hood. So we said, all the girls can come in and they enjoyed it. Like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. go away now.
Yeah.
We did our, so it became a thing where we tried to do like the hood once in a while. So I think the assumption was, as what I said to Grooves, I was like, yo, let's have it, let's question them on that when they come out, because it's like, have the boys lost that thing? Have they lost
the essence,
the black men thing? Yeah. Or, but the fact that it's separate, still, that's a brilliant sort of
you need to, like, even with like say rappers and stuff like that, when they're coming up, they have their core group, and they build everything around those people, and then they start getting commercial success, and then they start like looking to appease that, but they're isolating
their core group.
Exactly. Is isolating the right word?
I know what you're trying to say. I know the word, but I can't think of it now.
But yeah, that's the thing for us. It's like we need to make sure that the guys feel the love.
Yeah, as
the
way
they've been feeling it from the beginning. So, and then also the women as well. So we have a team of women as well.
Yeah, four women.
Because like part of it is like we're able to like come up with topics and things that would work with guys because we're guys. We know our struggles.
Yeah.
For women, we can't really speak to that
exactly
as well as a woman would. So we have a team of four women that have joined us since the mixer in December. We took people's names and we talked to them, just scoping them out. And so we have four people on the team now. They ran the first women's 100.
How was that? How was that?
Feedback from the ladies was, it was good.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
From what I was even in, because we weren't in the room.
We were hearing them.
We were hearing them laughing. I think the feedback from them was like, was really good. I mean, I spoke to my sister.
It's emotional.
I'm joking. I apologize.
It's emotional.
No, but for real though, even the girls that you guys have on leadership, they're really like, as in the names. Some of the names on there, like some amazing girls doing some amazing things. And if anything, the girls are in great hands as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just love, my favorite thing about the 100-fold is the fact that, you know, you man are always looking at the generation ahead to say, like, how can we draw from these man? How could we the leverage that these guys.
Do you know what it is? I think with our generation, you know, we are very intelligent. Like, our generation is we're very intelligent. And there's tendency for us sometimes
to
be arrogant and not want to listen to them.
Yeah.
We need wisdom.
But like, see, like sometimes in a way, like I see that they've taken a massive step coming here. Like that's like, I don't think there's many of us in our generation that can actually take that kind of step, not knowing where you're going to land, how you're going to eat, and take that leap.
Some of us, I was actually deep in it. Like, your mom probably came here with pregnant and a kid at 25.
Yeah. Heavy on your age. Heavy on the pregnant,
guys. I don't think I have the capacity for
it. She was pregnant.
I don't think I have the capacity for that kind of thing.
And to be dealing with like people that don't want you in the country.
With serious racism. You could probably do it now. They would just accept you. You know what I mean? but back in 1999?
Yeah.
Bro.
2000? Mm-hmm. Where they're asking you, oh, you're
spin like, on people back then.
Literally. Yeah.
So that's why it's important. We just thought like, these people have wisdom. They've seen things. 100%. And what we want from them is the encouragement.
Yeah.
We let them know that we have the strength. We have, you know, the wherewithal to go and take those actions. But like, what can we do? Like, how can you help us? How can you push us from behind to support us to achieve our dreams? That's what we have now. That's what.
Yeah, it's great. Because you said something earlier, and I think you're reiterating what he is saying. You said energy, but we need direction.
Yeah.
And so that's like a biblical like sort of premise as well. I think it's a general one as well, but it's like zeal without understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how like young people, especially if, like say in the church, wherever, it's like, they just get born again, and everything is holy, holy,
youthful
holy.
Exuberance.
Bro, slow down. Let's
you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. You don't know. Fast.
You're going nowhere, and there's no speed.
You know what I mean? So it's like it's true. We for every bit of energy we have, we do need that bit of direction, and it's okay to know that I've got the energy and I need the direction, because I think it's all about sustainability, right? It's like okay, cool. Because here's the thing: you can make that million very quickly, and you can lose it very quickly. What they give you is sort of the leverage of how to sustain these things, how to have patterns, how to have systems, boundaries, all these type of things that keep you in a sort of keep you sustaining what you already have been able to accumulate yourself, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that whole thing is great, and fair play to you boys. Like, what does 2024 look like? I know it's still relatively new in a sense, and in terms of like, you've only, how many sessions have you done? Like 6, 7?
Last year we did 8 or 9 sessions.
Okay.
I think the 9th one would have been the mixer. The 9th one was the mixer. So initially, like when you're starting off, we just thought every 6 to 7 weeks that we were going to do this thing.
Yes.
And then it was your brother, Smiley,
yes,
in this room. Yes. He was like, no, you guys need to do it every month. Like, we need to explain more frequently. So then we shifted it to every month. So yeah, answering your question, what does 2024 look like? Mm. It's going to be, like, we have it all basically planned that we have eight hangouts. So we have hangout January that we had the other day.
Mm-hmm. February.
Hangout in February, mixer in March, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So 8 hangouts, 4 mixers.
Okay.
And then we're introducing workshops as well, because there's only so much you can talk about in the hangouts, right? You know, you have all these experts come in and they can only touch on so much, but then people want to learn actually how to actually go out and apply these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're introducing workshops. So we've been very good to the community where we've been offering the hangouts for free.
Hey, he's about to talk about some. Hey.
You know, I think that's important. People need to know that we've been, I mean, you've been
pat ourselves on the back, right? We've been funding these.
Well done, bro.
Pat me on the back too. Yeah. Where were you in that studio?
Yeah.
I was giving discounts.
We've getting discounts.
We paid, Sha. You paid. Without any hassle.
Discounted.
But like,
so put David's name there.
To provide more value for the community, we're going to introduce workshops starting from Q2. Okay. Second quarter of the year.
Yeah.
And also it helped us to also fund the 100-fold collective so that we can actually do more for the community.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, socioeconomic benefit for the community that, what we're all about.
See, that's why I love to hear that. And I think we should be okay with saying, like, yeah, listen, we need to fund this. Like, not because we're trying to benefit from it, but because we want it to be better for you guys.
Yeah.
I think the issue sometimes is like, you know, second we start talking about money, Everyone's just why do you need money? Why not?
But you know what's so beautiful is that we actually have been encouraged, because people have actually willingly said, hey, I'd like to give you money. Seriously. I mean, there was one lady who messaged the page and was like, I really love that. This was when it was just for men. It was a lady that messaged the page and she was like, I really love what you're doing. Can I send you money?
Wow.
And she sent us €100.
Do you know what? Yeah. Nice. Sorry. Just put a pin in that. See, women are amazing supporters.
Oh boy!
No! I'm not even joking. That's not even cap. We put up tickets for a live show. Women.
Yeah, it's just girls. Big girl.
One guy. Women. It's actually such an amazing thing, and it's something I've always seen for a long time. It's just like when you do something that women supports,
bro. You're supported for life.
So anyway, bro, continue. We just need to shout out.
Yeah, and then one of the sessions, one of the guys, I was even rolling on the floor that day, man. I was rolling on the floor because we were just talking about the 100-fold collective and what we were about, you know. Mm-hmm. And then one of the guys just goes, surely this thing costs money.
Mm.
How are you guys funding it?
Mm.
Like, up until now, we've been using our own money and any little money that we've been able to get from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And he was like, should I say the amount? So here's €500.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And then another guy was like, oh yeah, €100.
Yeah, yeah.
And another guy was like,
well,
yeah,
so you about to up now?
Right? No, but do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? We've had to pay for other things again.
Yeah, of course, yeah, of course.
This costs money,
man. And the more you scale up, the more it costs.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's just how it is, bro.
And
it
costs more.
We need to find creative ways to make money to cover the costs that also adds value to the community.
Yeah,
it's not just to make money. It's
money.
It has to add value, and then, okay, yeah, we're making money, and then we can invest it back into what we're doing.
Even on the tickets that sold out, people were messaging us and saying, can we come? Can we still come? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Pull up. But we didn't make it public out there because it would have been too uncontrolled.
Yes,
100%. One of the girls, I was actually so impressed. She sent a message back saying, oh, thank you so much for letting me come. I still want to pay, though. How can I pay you guys? I'm like, rah.
Fair.
I think that's the thing. I feel, you know, when it comes to So any wealth building thing you read or watch, there's one thing that's always consistent. If you provide value, you will never go broke.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Do you get me? And that's from well-meaning people like these guys saying that, like, oh no, you give me something for free. I can't just take mm-hmm. from you. Mm-hmm. I need to give. And then as well as, like, I'm selling a product that's valuable. Do you get me? Mm-hmm. And I think it's amazing that, like, this is an accurate representation of that kind of thing. You're providing value and people.
Provide value people
yeah. back to you. Yeah. Where's your head up, boys?
Where's your head up, boys?
I'm excited to enter the fasting phase. We're doing 21 days. No, because I feel like it just helps. I think it's being at the start of the year, like, helps reinforce kind of the goals that you have set for yourself. Make sure that at least for the first month, you know, you stick to it. Do you get me?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm excited to enter that kind of phase. So, yeah.
Please.
What about you?
For me, I'm optimistic about the year. Like, I feel a lot of, like, good energy. Last year, there was a lot of lessons. Let's just say in, like, work.
Yeah.
I had way more lessons than wins in work. Like, taking those lessons into this year, like, I already know, like, things are going to be different. So I'm just excited to get stuck in. The 100-fold, just feel really grateful. It's crazy where we're at right now. And, like, the plans that we have for the future, the team that we have, like, I'm very excited, very happy. Yeah. And, like, it's just the beginning. Music as well, like...
I want those shoes.
I was just about to. I was actually about to ask you, how do you plan? Do you have anything in place for managing your time? Because if everything scales the way you want it to, it's going to eat into your time.
Yeah.
Music, because music requires you to be away. 100-fold requires you to be here, and then also work as well.
Yeah, I think I need to make sure my calendar is up to date. So, like, my schedule.
Yeah.
I also need to make waking up early
a thing.
Well, hop into the group chat, bro. If you don't wake up at that time, you're out.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys are intense.
Do you need to, like, message the group chat that time?
Oh, yeah. So you're up, yes.
Is it 5 a.m. or 6 a.m.?
6.
6 a.m. isn't bad. 6 a.m. is bad. But, yeah, like, I'm going to start with either 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. because I want to get gym done in the morning out of the way. So that means I have my evenings to do whatever I want to do. If I want to chill, do music stuff. 100%, so, time management is pretty much it. Like, you can do a lot if you manage your time and time wake up early. So,
what about you? Where's your head at?
Genesis 26:12.
What is this?
And Isaac sowed in that land, and in the same year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord God blessed him. That's pretty much where my head is at. The 100-fold collective.
Is that where the name came from?
That's where the name came from. Yeah. I had to drop that in somehow.
I was actually going to ask. What I know the answer, but I wanted people to hear it
as
well.
That's
really nice.
Just keep on sowing. Just keep on sowing. And like Stephen as well, a lot of lessons from last year. I think having the 100-fold last year was a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
So life got busier. You know, there was work, there was other things, you know, trying to grow that. So having learned how we've built up a system of how things work, I think just being more intentional about scheduling time and putting things into place. Because I'm also doing the master's as well, like part-time. So that's taking a lot of my
time.
Growing the 100-fold, being intentional with my time and my health as well.
That's
where my head's at.
What about you,
Val? For me, bros, more so this week, it was mainly health. In terms of, like, shout out to Yams Fitness, he's doing his thing. True me. oh boy. Do you know what was mad? I've eaten all throughout the week. I've eaten like 3 times a day, a snack, a pre workout, post workout meal as well. So I'm eating like bears during the day, and I've not felt bloated. I've not felt like, you know, those like, you don't finish one meal, one Nigerian meal, and you're heavy.
You're bloated for the next 2 days. Your stomach hasn't recovered for 2 days.
Yeah, you know. So I think I'm finishing every single day, and I'm still feeling like good and stuff like that. And working out, I'm just keeping it consistent. Don't worry, the results are not here yet, guys. But I promise you, summer,
I'll be running like still shy.
I feel good in that regards. And yeah, I'm just, again, I'm in the space of learning. I always sort of get into this, like, season, usually at the end of the year into the start of the next year. Like, I always get into a season of just, like, how could I freshen my learning for the year? Yeah. Like, you know, how could I just... again, I'm leading stuff that I have to be fresh for every week. Mm. So my consumption levels at this time of the year is immense. I take in so much so I can have enough. I'm not to say that I can't learn throughout the year, but so I can have enough
in the bank. This is the time you have yeah, space. And
space,
time.
You know, yeah. To just consume a lot.
When does the OC come back?
In 2 weeks. So 23rd of Jan.
Yeah, okay.
So then I can just sort of, given that new material, that new content, so it's consumption season, it's working on yourself season, you know. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
that's where head is at. Hundredfold, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate it, boys.
Appreciate you, boys.
For having us.
Where can we find you?
The Hundredfold Collective on all platforms. Instagram.
Ah, no, you say Instagram. So put that cash. No, I had it intentionally.
Just give them 100 food.
But yeah, the 100-fold collective.
Yeah.
Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. I think that's about it.
That's it. Elevate at the 100-fold.
.com. No, elevate at the 100-fold collective.com.
Sweet. Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much.
Guys, if you liked it, please like, share, comment. People don't share, actually. Just comment and like.
Just comment
and just like and comment.
Comment.
And I will see you on the next one. Love.
Love.